Today is week one of our Believe series, and I hope that you are anticipating the blessings of being a part of this series here in 2026. And today, week one, our subject is God. How's that for a nice, simple subject? And my challenge is to tell you everything that I know from God's Word about God. So we'll be here till about Tuesday when we for that. About 10 years ago now, there was a movie entitled God's Not Dead that became very popular, particularly in Christian circles. And the plot of the movie revolved around a college student named Josh Wheaton. Josh enters an introduction to philosophy course taught by Kevin Sorbo, actor Kevin Sorbo. He was playing Professor Jeffrey Radisson. Well, Radisson tells the students that they must write on a sheet of paper that God is dead, sign it, and turn it in to get a passing grade. Well, Josh refuses to do this, and he winds up having to debate the teacher in front of the class. Josh gets 20 minutes after the professor's lectures to make his points. And in the first two debates, Josh mostly argues that maybe he can't prove God exists, but the professor can't prove that he doesn't exist either. Well, tension is created as Radisson seems to counter all the points to Josh's argument. And Josh then loses his girlfriend, who fears for her academic future. And in the final debate, Josh asks Radisson why he hates God so much. And Radisson says it's because God let his mother die. To which Josh responds, "How can you hate someone who doesn't exist?" In the end, most every student stands up and declares, "God's not dead," along with Christian audiences everywhere. The movie ends with a newsboy conference where they just happen to sing their song, "God's Not Dead," which they dedicate to Josh. You know, friends, it's so easy for Christians to get hung up on things that God isn't too concerned about, namely proving his existence. When we look at Scripture, look at how God introduces himself as the main character in the Bible. The very first verse of Scripture says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Notice that in these first words of the Bible, no explanation about God is given. There's no attempt to prove his existence. It's just assumed. God doesn't waste time convincing us that he exists. Rather, he invites us into a relationship. Today, we're beginning the journey through the Believe series. And this really is an invitation to a greater relationship with God. We're going to examine the basic beliefs of the Christian faith. And I think this study, which I think is wonderful, is good for people who have been Christians for years, maybe even decades, who know Scripture well, who understand what they believe. This series will reinforce what you believe. But for those of us maybe a little more newer to the faith, maybe a little bit more younger, this will help us ground us in what we know and what we believe, and be able for us to articulate better our beliefs. And for those who are on the fence, for those who don't have faith in Jesus, my hope is that this series will challenge you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. So my assignment for the first week was to tell you all that I know about God. And so I have 4 years of seminary education, and I have shelf after shelf of books, and you're going to get it all this morning, okay? No, you're not. Not an easy assignment, but let's begin with this idea that we don't have to prove God's existence. You know that over 90% of Americans believe in God? Over 90% believe in God. So we don't have to prove God's existence. God didn't even have to prove his existence. The scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What we need to talk about is, what do we believe about this God? And do we believe in the one true God, the God of the Bible? So the key question today is, who is God? Who is God? After 400 years in slavery, God delivered his people Israel out of captivity in Egypt through a series of tremendous miracles. But even though God demonstrated his goodness and his love and his power to them over and over again, their hearts remained fickle and divided. At this point, they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't believe, they didn't trust in God to lead them into the promised land. So before they entered the promised land, God has prepared for them. Their leader, Joshua, calls them to account. He says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me," Joshua says, "as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." What's interesting about the Bible is the Bible never denies the existence of other gods. In fact, there are many other gods mentioned in the Bible. God makes it clear there always have been, there always will be other gods competing for our attention. And we have the freedom to choose which God we will serve. Will it be the God of money? Will it be the God of pride? Will it be the God of success? The God of popularity? The question is not, is there a God, but who is the one true God? Who is the God you're going to serve? Our key idea today is this: I believe that the God of the Bible is the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to just scratch the surface today on this idea of God, but I want to focus on three characteristics of this God. First of all, this God is the true God, the true God. Our God is the true God. People at all times and all cultures have believed in a multitude of gods. People believe in a multitude of gods even today. Worship different gods for different reasons. But the Bible authors declare there is one true God. He's the one that was in the beginning, the one that had created all that we see and feel and touch. And he's the one who will be left standing in the end when all the others have faded away. And even though over 90% of Americans believe in God, that number's starting to decline. It's starting to decline. The existence of God in some form or fashion doesn't seem to be the question. The question is, who is the God? Who is the true God that we're going to follow, serve, worship? Is the true God one that is near or is he far away? Is the true God one that is gracious or vindictive? Is he wholly concerned or completely disinterested with me? Is he good and can he be trusted? Big questions that we have to wrestle with in this series. What we think about God is called theology. Theology comes from two words, theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning words. Our words about God are our theology. What we speak about God is our theology. So we are all theologians. Even atheists are theologians. So the real question is, are you a good theologian or are you a bad one? Because good theologians let God speak for himself. And Scripture claims that he is the one true God. And Jesus said the same as well. His prayer for his disciples then and now was this: "And this is the way," John 17:3, "this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." That statement is important because it shows that Jesus understands that there's one true God. And he understands his relationship in that. And Jesus is trustworthy. We can trust his words. And so when he says something, we should listen. In fact, Jesus would say, "The Father and I are one and the same." The Apostle Paul would claim Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. And the writer of Hebrews wrote, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command." So throughout the Bible, there is this claim that the God of the Bible is the one true God. And Jesus affirms that truth. Which brings us to our second characteristic, the idea of a triune God. You see, friends, the Old Testament followers, they believed in one God. They believed in one God. They did not have a concept of a trinity, a triune God. Their great verse was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Deuteronomy 6:4. The God of Israel was one God, not many. Christianity and Judaism, as well as Islam, are monotheistic religions. In the Old Testament times, this belief in one God made Israel unique. Because all the nations around them, they worship multiple gods. But Israel worshiped one God. One God. Egypt, for an example. You know, it's believed that each of the 10 plagues that were directed to the Egyptian people were actually directed to a specific god of Egypt. Multiple gods. In the end, the one true God won out. But turn the pages to the New Testament, we discover something interesting about this God. He is spoken of in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:16-17 is a familiar text as we see Jesus' baptism. And it says there, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." In that one scene, all three aspects of God, all three natures of God, all three persons of God come together. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God is not three separate gods. He's one God. We believe in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. He is not three gods. And God is not one God who manifests himself in three different roles, like an actor who puts on a mask to play three different roles in a play. It's not the triune God. And Jesus is not subordinate to God the Father as an inferior God. In other words, God the Father, and then underneath him we have Jesus, and underneath that the Holy Spirit. There's not a hierarchy in the Trinity. They are co-equal, co-eternal. The key idea is that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is hard to get our minds around. And I don't know about our Roots teachers, how they're teaching that concept to our kids. But if you come up with an interesting, creative way to communicate that, please let me know. Because Trinity is a tough, tough subject to teach. God is not a hierarchy, but a community of equals. And this is important for how we understand God and how we understand ourselves. See, God's image is not physical, it is relational. And we see this aspect of God in the Trinity, that there is relationship between the three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God's image is not male or female, but the relationship between the two. His image is community. God is a triune God. So there's the true God, there's the triune God, and then there's the trustworthy God. The title of this series, I hope you picked up your books from your mailboxes, and keep these books. I hope they're going to be well-worn by the end of this series. The title of this series is Believe. And believe means to trust. And that's why Jesus called people to believe. He said, "I want you to believe," when he announced that the kingdom of God is near. He said, "Repent of your sins and believe the good news." If this God is the true God and Jesus is God, and he's showing us what God's kingdom looks like, it only makes sense that we trust it. We put our lives into it. And that's what Joshua was getting at when he talked to the Israelites before they planned to enter into the promised land. He's getting down to the basics here, and he's saying, "Look, as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And the big decision from the beginning of time is this: who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? Because there will always be other gods. There may be the gods of the Egyptians, the gods of Mesopotamia, the god of money or fame or power or success. But there's one God that Scripture says perhaps the biggest God that we have to fight against is the God of me. The God of my desires, my will, my ambition. You know, when we look back to the Garden of Eden and we see the disobedience of Adam and even as they ate the fruit, the core issue stemmed from something else. They lacked trust. They didn't trust God. That's why they ate of the fruit of the fruit, because they lacked trust in God. Did God say, the serpent said, that you could not eat of this tree? Well, it is pleasing to my eye, Eve said. They didn't trust God. They began to doubt His word. And Scripture says God is a trustworthy God. Joshua could challenge his people to choose God and they would, as one they would serve, because he had seen God's trustworthiness. You remember Joshua, he was one of the 12 spies that went into the land to see the land before they were planning to go in and enter it. And he was him and Caleb were the only two that came back and said, you know what, this is a great land, it's a fertile land, and we can take it. The other 10 spies said, oh no, there's lots of giants there. We're not going to be able to take this land. And as a result, that's why they wandered for 40 years. And now Joshua, he's an old man. He's finally been allowed to see his people inherit their promised land. And he wanted his people to trust God as much as he did. To believe in this God. Friends, the God of the Bible is a trustworthy God. We come to know Him as a triune God. A loving, caring Heavenly Father who provides, protects, and forgives. A selfless Son who sacrifices, serves, and saves. And a Spirit who guides, energizes, and transforms us. What's the key application of this text today, or these multiple texts that we've considered as we look at this idea of who is God? The key application is this: because God is one God, I am not God. Yes, it's my birthday today, but I am not God. Okay? You're not God either. There is one God, one true God, and we are not God. You know, some skeptics believe that faith is a crutch for the weak. The Christians have to believe in a God to cope with life. But the flip side of that statement is also true. There are a number of reasons some have to not believe that there is a God. And the number one reason being that if there is a God, then that means I'm not God. And people don't want to accept that. I don't want to believe in God because if I believe in God, then I'm not God. If there's one above and over me, it would only make sense that I would have to give up control of my life and let that one be in control. Friends, everybody serves something. The question is not, are you serving God? The question is, what God are you serving? Is it the God of the Bible? Is it the God of money or power, work, self, football? The second point or aspect we want to bring out here in application is this: because God is three persons, I need to be in community with others. What amazes me about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the community aspect of them, the relationship between them, how they interact with one another. And that idea of community is a part of us as well, because we are made in the image of God. And we desire community. We long for community. Do you remember what it was like to live through the pandemic and not be able to meet as a church? What were we missing? Community. We couldn't be together. And we felt like a big part of our life was missing. That's because we're made in the image of God. We're made to be community-oriented people. We need each other. Deeply interrelated persons, perfectly united as we connect and worship the one true God. We are created in community for community. So when we talk about relationship and fellowship and community, we're not talking about some sort of hippie love fest or anything like that. We're not talking about coffee clubs or cliques or just hanging out. We're not talking about some inward-focused, exclusive, or purposeless group. We are talking about what it means to be a Christian, created in the image of God, and desiring to be in community with other believers. We need each other. And friends, we're going to need each other as we move through this series. And my goal is that we're going to be united as a body through the Believe series. That we're going to long to be with each other even more so, because we believe in the one true God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." One thing about our God is He gives us the ability to choose. But who will you choose? What God will you serve? Don't sit on the fence. Make up your mind and put your trust in that God. At the end of the God's Not Dead movie, after the final debate, Professor Radisson goes home and he reflects on his mother's death and her dying wish for him to follow God's plan. And Professor Radisson finally realizes that he's not an atheist. He's not an atheist. But he doesn't believe in the character of God as good and benevolent. And in a moment of trust, Professor Radisson agrees to attend the Newsboys concert. And on his way there, he is struck by a car. And while dying, he tells Pastor Dave that he's not an atheist, but he's a Christian. And he accepts Jesus, a process that's depicted as he prays through the sinner's prayer. Professor Radisson would die knowing the one true God. How about you? How about you? Will you die knowing the one true God? That's what Believe is all about. That's what this series is all about. Next week, we're going to consider the character of this one true God. In particular, how He is relational. How God is a personal God. And this morning, in your small groups and Bible study this week, you're going to learn more about the nature of God, the one true God, the God of the Bible. Most important for you today is to simply believe. Believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And on this foundation will we continue to build as we continue the Believe series. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You today for the journey that's beginning for all of us. To believe in the one true God, the God of the Bible. To believe in the triune God. To know that God, You are trustworthy. And that You desire us to live in community as You, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do. Father, we pray that Your blessing would be upon us as we continue in our journey here in 2026 through the Believe series. And that indeed we could claim today that we believe in the one true God, the God of the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.